Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And we are continuing to do our new and improved versions of the Steps of Recovery. And we're on the Betrayed Partner. We've been doing that this last episode. So if you missed that, go ahead and pick up there. Otherwise, join us as we continue discussing steps to recovery for the betrayed partner. So last time we talked about time and space, about boundaries, and about creating purpose and meaning from the pain and suffering.
Which probably needs its own
episode. I know. We were thinking
that
about
that.
That
is such a big topic.
Oh, it's such a big thing. Yeah. Should do another episode entirely on that.
Casually throw that out there.
Yes.
So create purpose from your pain. Okay.
Yes, we were talking about how, okay, a lot of these things we're talking about have their own episodes, but I don't think that one does. So
no, I don't think so.
We may jump on that and put a little star by that, talk about that. So the next one we do have other episodes on this concept. So please refer to those as we're just trying to bullet point some of these items. And the fourth step is forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
It's huge. It's really critically important. And what it doesn't mean is just jumping in and brushing over the surface and like, oh, everything's fine.
Right.
And we're not saying, hey, you know, by week three, it all should be over. Like
yeah.
You should be, you know, everything should be forgiven.
It's a process for sure.
And forgotten and whatever. This is definitely a process. And it's definitely something that takes time and actually reiterative. It's a reiterative process in that I think there's some forgiveness levels. And then as more comes, if you're going through a disclosure process, you know, there might be more things that come out, or there might be different angles to that forgiveness that you realize may not have completed.
Yeah.
So.
And if you think you can do it quick or easy by saying it, well, I've forgiven you or I forgive
right.
you and that's it, may not completely understand it.
Yes.
Because I hear that a lot and it's almost one of these, you know, I hate to be offensive, but statements where it's like, oh, well, I think you're just about to be offensive. It's like, I've forgiven you, but,
it's kind of like, huh, yes.
All right.
Yes.
So
there are some things that you will definitely want to make sure you understand about
yeah.
it and learn about it. There are several books out there that are very good that talk about forgiveness.
Like the Healing Power of Forgiveness. I would recommend The Choice as well.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that.
There's also a book called Forgiving What You Can't Forget.
Right. Yep.
That's a phenomenal book. So sometimes I think we throw this word around there, but we don't really
yeah.
understand entirely what it is.
Yep.
So
yep.
I would definitely refer back to our other episodes, and I would definitely refer to, you know, some of these books and resources on forgiveness. But it is really important to differentiate between forgiveness and trust.
Right.
And those are two very different things. And also recognize, in my experience, when talking about what David's referring to with people that are, oh, just, you know, say it real quick and poof, it's done, and that they may not understand. Oftentimes when I see that, what I'm seeing is a, like, brush over the surface, but there are no boundaries. There's not trust. There's
right.
these other pieces that aren't being considered. And you can't forgive someone without healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
It's just, if you are forgiving someone and you don't have appropriate, healthy boundaries for the situation, basically what you're saying and what you're doing is you're just using another coping mechanism. Like, we're just ignoring what's going on rather than appropriately addressing it. Because forgiveness includes healthy boundaries around what can be trusted and what cannot.
Yep. And, you know, this is tough. I'm glad Sherry's sharing about forgiveness, because you often have heard this from the person that is hard for you to forgive, like your spouse or partner. And it almost makes the word like a bad word.
Yes. Like, how come you haven't forgiven me?
You just need to forgive me.
Yeah. You just need to forgive me and move on.
And let me just say, that's inappropriate completely to be used in that way. And I hope it doesn't turn you off of the concept because of who's saying it and how much they're saying it.
And how they're saying it.
Using it to mean trust. Yes,
yeah,
I know.
You need to forgive me. That means you just need to trust me and everything.
It definitely can be abused in that way. But I hope you know, me and Sherry, just two therapists, We're telling you, forgiveness is a vital, can't get through a healing process without utilizing forgiveness process. So even if you've heard it and it's been used in ways that just makes you
cringe,
want to throw it out the door,
really
think about it, really come to understand how it benefits you, how it's about you, not your partner. And honestly, this is where loving gets real and has the greatest impact for both of you. Kind of this idea that the harder someone is to love, the harder you love. And that's what love is. Love isn't, you know, if this is easy or I'm getting what I want when I want. Right. That's something else. And forgiveness is an amazing kind of love. And it really sets, for example, it really sets Christians apart. This concept of forgiveness is not a natural, it's not something that we feel to do naturally when something
just
happens.
Just for fun.
Yeah. But super vital in a healing process, especially with someone who is very close and has hurt you and you want to rebuild.
That's critical. And again, when David's talking about the harder someone is to love, the harder you love, again, that concept can feel threatening if you don't understand what forgiveness really is and if you don't have healthy boundaries. Because it feels like, oh, basically you're just telling me that if someone's really awful, then I just need to love them more and let them do da-da-da-da-da, right? And that's not what we're saying at all. We're saying that you have, part of love is really healthy boundaries. And part of forgiveness and trust are really healthy boundaries. And so those are critically important pieces to moving forward in love, moving forward in forgiveness. So, and it changes your life.
Right.
It absolutely is transformative and changes your life. And we could sit and tell a million stories about that and how that shows up. But you legitimately can forgive and heal from the absolute worst things that your partner could do to you. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And of course, as you're reading a lot of these books and different, you know, experiences that other people have had, you'll see a lot of other experiences with it, right? Like the choice, you know, that's about the Holocaust and forgiving those kinds of atrocities, right?
Yep.
So it's possible, it's completely transformative, and we've seen it many, many times with clients and how much it can benefit and heal. But again, impossible without boundaries, without trust. But, you know, you can forgive without trusting someone, but rebuilding, you'll have to rebuild that trust.
And look, the reality is, even if you don't stay with this person because they cannot meet your needs, you need to forgive.
Can't show up in loving ways. Yes.
This is not a thing you work on if you plan to stay.
Yes.
This is something to work on either way.
Yes.
But
and when we say need, it's, you know, it's just
you just be
it just changes your life.
Yep. Yep.
And it allows you to have freedom to move forward.
Exactly.
So, yes, I love that you brought that up. This isn't like a check this box, or you need to check this box if you're planning to stay together. This is absolutely something that you will want and need in your life regardless.
Yep. Which for me kind of ties into this next one, number five, understanding addiction if it's present, and often it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is important for you as the partner.
Yes.
Very important. It's vital that you see your partner's behavior for what it is, not what it isn't. And I could say so much about that.
Right.
Addiction is a disease, and this is significant and needs understood. Otherwise, you're going to judge the situation wrongly. You're going to have unrealistic expectations. What I hear over and over and over again is, if you love me, then, without understanding addiction, that would make sense, I guess. But
yeah.
When addiction is present and it's a disease, it's not as simple as that. It's not a moral failing. It's not a lack of love for you. Well, if you loved me, you wouldn't do this. And
right.
I told you, if you look again, then you don't love me and this isn't going to work. So getting the help you need to see and understand addiction is huge. And if I'm working with a couple, I always see a shift once the partner understands addiction better.
Yes.
If we think we're going to do this without understanding addiction for both, because remember, this was on the other side too for the addict.
Yeah, for sure.
To understand addiction. you just have to have that be a part of this process.
It just helps you see clearly and make appropriate decisions based on that. Like
right.
Really, all of your boundaries, all of your healing, all of your everything that you're setting up, it has to be based on appropriate understanding of what's actually going on.
It's kind of solving a problem you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, you have to do this
yeah.
when it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Like having,
or you're a bad person. Like
right.
this is a moral
yep.
thing, failing.
Yep. And I can say that this is tied to forgiveness, because it's a lot easier to forgive when you understand that
mm-hmm.
your partner is lying to hide the most shaming part of themselves that they believe will cast them off forever.
Right.
It's not because they don't love you. It's because
mm-hmm.
they are terrified of sharing this thing that they feel will withhold all love from them. And that's not an excuse, but the more you understand that and the more you see why they do what they do or did what they did,
it makes sense.
It's going to make a lot more sense.
Right.
And forgiveness is a lot easier when you can see that and understand that. Like getting
right.
mad at a child for not having great grades and come to find out they have a learning disability or something.
Yes.
You know, if they're doing the best they can with what they have, we take a completely different approach than we would otherwise.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that, you know, addiction makes you, you know, developmentally disabled or something. But in a lot of ways, it kind of does. You could make that argument in certain ways. And so
it is
not an excuse.
Yeah, again, it's a disease.
It's a legitimate, you
yes.
can measure this in our brains.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a choice and they don't care. And they'd rather have a good time and act out. No, it's actually much deeper than that.
A process, yeah. And I like what you're saying about that. Like, it's the lying and these things that are happening are because they're hiding that very most shameful part of them that they want to hide from themselves.
Right.
Like, it's their,
and have been.
And have been.
Yeah.
Yes. Have been trying to escape and keep from that. And then now I have to tell somebody else about that. And yeah, they're totally.
I'm
going to
be alone forever.
Anymore.
So
yeah.
I'm having a hard time being honest about this.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
That makes sense. And obviously, if we go back to those steps on the, you know, for the offending partner, the honesty is the very first step, right? So again, we're not saying
we're
this
not
to
giving
excuse.
Them a free pass.
Yes.
But we
it
just
helps
need
to understand.
Yep.
And know what's going on so that you can make those healthy decisions. And then you can work on healing and for yourself and for a relationship if that's what you choose to do.
Yep.
So the next one is support. And we alluded to this in support. Our last episode, but this is huge. So many betrayed partners feel completely isolated.
Yeah.
Because they're going through this thing and it's really hard and shameful for their partner, which is, you know, understandable. And they're, so they don't know, like, I can't say anything because they're already shame, you know, filled and I can't reach out. Right. And they end up being completely isolated and then they're just drowning by themselves.
And you can tell a big difference between someone in this process who has good support and someone who has no support.
100%. 100%. It's a completely different ballgame.
Yep. And I got to throw something in here. I see a lot of people who don't have support on purpose. And I'm not a big fan of that. I'm just going to tell you. Who not only they'll know this about my husband or our family, they'll know this also about me. And yes. So they choose not it's to a let shame anybody space for them. In. Yep. And I've got to say, whatever reason you don't have good support, I hope you can work through that because you're going to need it.
Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone in your immediate community or family. There is definitely a lot of help to be found. But if this is I don't have support because I don't want anyone to know, we gotta rethink that a little bit.
Yes. It isn't always just because you don't want someone to know something about your spouse.
Right.
Sometimes it's also about yourself and you don't want anyone to know I've heard clients say, what a loser I am because
What kind of a person cheats on their spouse? What kind of spouse is that?
Yeah. You the can spouse have a that real gets sense cheated of, on. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That definitely comes up. So I love that you brought that up. And again, you know, one of the key important pieces of this is having support people who are actually supportive. Who can listen and hear. And I think we have episodes on this too. We definitely talk about it. I'm not sure where, if it's a specific episode, but you need people who are going to be there for you in the ways that you need them. That if you tell them something, then now you're not going to have to be in charge of their emotions around it. And they're having all this stuff exhausting. Going on. You know, and or that are going to jump in and, you know, tell you what they think that you should be doing in all of this space.
Yep.
Right. You need someone who's going to be able to show up and be there for you and empathize and help you process and all of that. And this is one of the reasons we talk so much about groups and why groups are so critically important.
Yeah.
So because it's a group of people who are all going through the same experience and there will be people there that are further through that experience that can help you to understand, gosh, what boundaries do I need to set? How do I know if I'm forgiving? How do I trust again? All of those things, they've been there, they understand, and they can be there for you better because of that.
Yep, absolutely. So the next step, seems like it goes without say, but we need to say it. Commit, like as in all in, commit to doing your own work.
Yes.
And this is kind of goes back to some other things we've talked about. It's up to you to do the work of your own recovery, despite who's to blame for the situation, which can be really hard in this scenario, obviously. You didn't ask for it, but they can't do it for you, even if they contributed or caused the problem.
Yes.
They still cannot do it for you. And what we see a lot is the addict feels a lot better a lot sooner because now they're being honest and they feel this weight's been lifted and it's out in the open and they're getting sobriety and they're actually feeling better about themselves than they have in a long time.
Yeah.
But the poor spouse is like, well, okay, I'm glad you're feeling better, but I'm
totally hearing
this for the first time.
Yes.
And I'm still trying to process and what it means. And so you're going to have to do that work. They can't, you know, they can contribute to the healing process that happens, but there's just no way around
it. Being honest and open and willing and moving forward in their own recovery, that will help. But it's just kind of like, you know, I use the analogy a lot of times of getting hit by a car. And, you know, which is funny because I used to use that analogy before I got hit by a car.
Well, now it has special meaning.
Now it has special meaning. But, you know, if you've been hit by a car, right, like all of the justice and all of the things that go on with the, you know, person who hit you, sure, those things can help, right? You get insurance money that can help you heal a little bit faster and all those that stuff.
Sure.
But you have to do the therapy. You have to get yourself to the doctors.
What if you don't do anything at all?
Yeah, then you're going to walk, you're going to try to limp through life with a broken leg and a punctured lung and, you know, these things that don't heal properly. And it's going to greatly affect the quality of your life.
Yeah.
Like a ton. Yep. Right. So even if you're like, well, I don't care, like it's that bad and I'm just, you know, leaving them and whatever. And it legitimately may be that bad.
Right.
You know, maybe you found out that they just slept with 100 people and you're like, I'm done. I'm out. You still have to go through the process of healing.
Right.
It's not just, I'm going to cut them out. We're going to go through this divorce process.
That's the problem. That's just done. Them. And as long as they're gone, I'm okay.
Yes. It just, I'm sorry. It won't work. Yep. Right. You will be disabled emotionally for the rest of your life.
Now we come back to that forgiveness thing we were talking about.
Yes, that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
But there's so much more to your healing and your work. But if you don't get the work, if you don't, and it does, it can feel really frustrating. I didn't cause this.
It's not your fault.
I wasn't driving the car and it hit me. But now because of that, I have to go to physical therapy every week and I have to go to extra doctor appointments and I've had to have surgery and I have to have all this rehabilitation. And you may have to do that for a couple of years.
Don't plan on anything less.
Right?
Yeah.
It's part of this journey. It's part of the healing process that is yours to do.
Yep.
And you're welcome to do it now or you're welcome to push that away and be disabled for a long time and then have to re-break those bones later in life. Do extra surgeries to repair damage that's been done because you didn't take care of it when you needed to, right? You can choose to do that process later or not at all. But if you want to live a good life, regardless of what happens in relationship, you have to commit 100% to doing that work yourself.
Yep.
And it will take time. Okay. I'll get off my soapbox on that one.
We just have so much good information here.
I know.
That we're...
we can just talk about it for so long.
We want to be a little more thorough. That's why we're going back through these. And so...
Yeah.
We're going to have to...
We're going to pick up here and do another episode on these. So that we just really want to give it the time that it deserves.
It really does. And so I hope, again, this has been helpful and listen to this as many times as you need to pick up on everything. And please join us for the next episode as we continue.
We'll see you then. Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.